Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode number 44 for Monday, May 31st, 2010. It's Memorial Day here in the States, and, well, I'm mourning the loss of my weekend. How about you?
I didn't have so much as of a relaxing weekend, but I did have a productive and a nice weekend. So it wasn't what I hoped for, a do-nothing kind of a thing, but it was a good weekend.
I was in a wedding, and the night before the wedding, I got either a mild case of food poisoning or just an ill-timed bout of minor stomach flu from Denny's, and generally felt like crap, and it's been hot and sticky and disgusting. And
you know. Yeah, the weather's been pretty brutal, so we took Izzy to the zoo and a little local zoo here, so that was pretty fun.
Cool.
You know, did some stuff there. We got a little baby pool for her and took her out in that.
we took Jade to the wedding, and, you know, everyone always loves to see a cute baby, but it seems to have taken its toll on her. She has been very cranky today.
Did you get her a nice little dress and everything?
Yeah, she was wearing a little green dress at the wedding. It was very cute.
Ribbons in her hair?
No ribbons in her hair. She is... As all babies tend to do, she has worn a bald spot in the back of her head.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could put a ribbon there, but we're trying to do the baby comb over with what remains of the top of the hair on her head. So, you know. But anyway, this is not the baby cast. This is the Co-Opticast. So we're going to talk about some video games. And what have you... Well, that's an interesting title. Why don't you tell me what you've been doing with EVE Online, Nick?
yeah, you know, so what happened was I got an email from CCP's PR people and said, hey, would you be interested in a press account? We're going to be launching this new expansion pack. And I was like, yeah. But then what caught my eye is they said the stuff that we're launching in this expansion pack is going to tie in with Dust when that launches next year.
Oh,
and
right.
And Dust is the console game from them that's going to be co-op based and tie into the EVE universe. So I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll get some background, play some EVE, and check it out. Now, I had tried EVE when it first came out a while ago, and I was done. Like 2 days, it was just way too complicated for me.
I had a hard time figuring out how to chat with my friends who convinced me to play when I first started out. That game has a... I haven't played it recently, but it had a nigh insurmountable user interface.
It is greatly improved from what I remember. The tutorial now, it takes you... the tutorial took me 4 hours. Like, there's just tons of tutorial content. It walks you through everything. You can bring it up anytime. It definitely got me at least into the game. I'm literally at a point right now where I just finished the tutorial. I'm kind of flying around deciding what I want to do. It's a beautiful game. I mean, it's space porn. So I'm liking that a little bit. And it's nice because I loaded up on my new MacBook, and I could just been kind of playing casually for like a half hour here, an hour there, and learning the ropes. So they have a dedicated chat channel now that's like up on your screen all the time. Where volunteers sit and you can just ask questions on how to do things, and they'll answer you, and they do a really good job. So props to them for that.
EVE has always interested me because it's one of the final true freedom MMOs out there. Yeah. You know, you can do whatever you want. The economy is largely player driven, and you know, you always hear about the grand stories of people infiltrating the high end guilds and working them for you know, billions of credits of in-game currency, and that always sounds really exciting. And I love space flight sims and everything, so I go in and I'm like, I'm gonna play some EVE. oh, right, this is the game where you mine asteroids and then hit train and log in 8 hours later so you can, you know, see the results of your training.
Yeah, well, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, yeah, you know, I haven't played in, like, 6 months. He goes, but, he's like, before I left, I started training a skill, and it was one that was going to take 4 months to complete. So maybe I'll log back in. It's like, wow. But the way the expansion's going to tie in is kind of cool. So they basically, all the planets in the game now, you can... I don't want to say conquer, but like you can scan them, you can find out what's on them, and then in a couple of weeks you're actually going to be able to, the corporations in the game are actually going to be able to build stuff on the planets, and whatever they build is what is going to be in dust. So it's pretty interesting. It's there's a lot of people playing. There's two servers, and each one has had like, I don't know, 10,000, 15,000 people on it. At a time on it. Granted, it's no World of Warcraft in terms of population or stuff, but it seems busy enough.
Well, the good thing about EVE is that it doesn't really need to maintain a player base the size of WoW to be successful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the people that play EVE hardcore are in it for, you know, I'd say a lot of those guys are lifers. Like, they'll play that game until the servers die.
Yeah, yeah. So I took up the role of a space explorer. I'm going to attempt to discover new things in the game. I figure that's something I can do solo if I have to, but if I can get in a group or whatever. I haven't joined a corporation yet, but... I've also been playing a little bit of Alpha Protocol.
I hear it's terrible.
I don't know. Like, I want to like it. It has some cool things, but I'm constantly fighting the controls. The graphics are nothing to write home about. The story, I don't know. I just can't get into it. Like, there's so many things about it that are, it's like on the cusp of being, oh man, they almost had this, but I don't know.
Every review I've read of it so far said I really wanted to like this game, but
yeah, it's exactly it. It's like, oh, it's so close, but just not. It's like it wants to be Mass Effect in terms of like the style and what's lying underneath it, but it just doesn't feel right.
Can you elaborate on the way the game handles stealth? Because it sounded hilarious to me.
I don't. Honestly, I've just been playing it as an action game.
I've heard basically stealth, you know, puts you in slow-mo mode, and you can take out dudes right in front of other dudes.
Yeah, the AI is pretty retarded.
They won't see you because you were doing it stealthily.
So it does the thing where, like, the shooting mechanic... So remember in Mass Effect 1, the shooting mechanic was governed by under...
a skill number.
Yeah, it's the same thing in this. So, like, you could be right next to a guy. You can have the pistol dot aimed on his head and fire five times and miss all five times. Wow. So it's just... So that's annoying. The biggest thing that gets me is there's too many mini-games. There's mini-games for everything, and they're not fun at all. They're just annoying. And so, like, there's one where you have to hack keypads, and you have to, like, trace circuit paths back to, like, the start in a certain order. The one that got me, I at first I didn't even see it. I spent 15 minutes trying to hack a computer. You have to pick out the passwords and all these rotating characters. Like, apparently, well, this is what happened, is there's sets of, like, six letters and numbers that aren't moving in this field of, like, 150 characters that are, like, cycling between. And I couldn't see it. I just could not see it. So, finally, someone's like, trust me, it's there. So I sat there and, like, it's like an optical illusion kind of a thing. You have to really... So that's annoying.
Is this the first case of an HDTV needing to be 60 inches or greater so you can see what's going on?
Well, the thing is, I have a 40-inch HDTV, and I'm literally sitting 4 feet from it because that's the end of the bed. So it's huge. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe I'm too close to it.
Maybe. I thought it was more like when you played Dead Rising on a standard def TV and you couldn't read any of the UI.
Yeah, I don't know. So... you know, I'm going to keep playing it for a review and stuff, but I think people will probably avoid it and be a little disappointed.
That's sad. I really was looking forward to that, and then I almost picked it up, but I didn't. And then the next day or two, I saw the reviews start rolling in, and my wallet breathed a very audible sigh of relief.
I did pick up Blur, though, and That game is hella fun. It is everything The Last Burnout should have been. And apparently, I talked to a few people, and a lot of ex-Criterion folks are actually on the Burnout team at Bizarre. Or at the Blur team at Bizarre.
The Blur team?
Yeah, so it kind of makes sense.
Nice.
So I've played...
I really dug the beta of Blur, so I'll pick that up at some point.
I was playing it real late Saturday night with some folks from Colony of Gamers, and Kat, actually, too. She was playing a little bit, and it was... some of the battles you get in, it's really fun. So I'm really happy with that purchase. And finally, I've been putting a lot of time into Red Dead Redemption.
Which is awesome.
Yes, I did a review of that. It was one of those things I toiled with, how much longer should I play until I write the review? And I had like 18 hours in, and I think I'm 45% complete. Granted, I'm probably 70% complete with the game, but, you know, the percentage of doing everything, you know, I missed some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. It seems to be a lot of hate going on lately with it on Twitter. Some folks, Rockstar, they automatically get good reviews, blah, blah, blah. But I really think it's probably their best open world game to date.
Oh, easily. Even with the insane bugs that it has.
Yeah, and that's my main gripe with it, is it does have a lot of weird, quirky bugs. I do think their formula could use a few changes to things. They do have a lot more fast travel options, but it would be nice if they had a little more guidance with main storyline. Like, if there was, for people that just want to like go through, experience the story, and play those missions, if there was a way to do that a little bit quicker.
Yeah, it does. A lot of the discussions I've seen and participated in have revolved around the fact that the game gets way open world way quickly.
Yeah, it really does.
So, you know, you're basically handed a gun and a horse. You ride to the opening, you know, the opening bit, you wake up in the house, and then it's open world. And that's really cool, but, you know, it confused me, and I would like to say I'm a veteran of open world games, and even I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
You took the reins off now? I mean, you can go without completing any story missions and just go futz around in the world, and a certain amount of time passes and more stuff starts opening up.
Yeah.
You know, you won't have done a mission in a while, and you'll be like, oh, well, now you can play Liar's Dice here, or you can, play Five Finger Filet or whatever that game is
right.
called, and, you know, poker. Yeah. And,
Yeah.
Poker is actually really well implemented.
Especially
when you cheat.
Yeah, when you put on the cheater suit and stuff. So, you know, I was kind of disappointed that wasn't in the multiplayer portion of the game, in the co-op and stuff, that you could play the poker or horseshoes and stuff. It'd just be a nice little distraction, because the co-op is just kind of this open, do whatever kind of a thing. So, you know, to give something for people to do. It would be a nice little thing. Play some poker with.
I really can't wait for the co-op, like, mission specific DLC stuff, rather than the, you know, let's go clear out this bandit's nest.
We had someone on our forums that actually had a pretty ingenious thing. They said that they went to, I guess there's some areas in the lobby that there are actual people walking around, you know, and stuff, and you can shoot the sheriffs and get a bounty on you. And what they were doing was just killing those guys and holding up and basically creating their own horde mode, seeing how long they could survive and how high they could get their bounty up on them. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so that's a cool little thing to do. But yeah, it definitely needs those story mode missions. But I put about 6 hours into the co-op free roam stuff with two separate groups, and you know, as many times as I've done those bandit missions with people, there's so many fun moments. It's like, I think I said in my review, it's kind of like Crackdown in some sense, where like it's as fun as you want to make it, and you just, you know, I was playing with Jason and Scott from In Game Chat, and and Dr. Finger too from Collier and Gamers, and we were all riding in the carriage and stuff, and we're gonna go, you know, take on this bandit compound and stuff, and I hear Scott yell, you know, Cliff, Cliff. And I go, that's the plan. And it's, you know, off the cliff with the carriage. He bails out head first, crushed the horses. We survived the crash. It was just, you know, it's just the silly, crazy things you can do in an open world game that makes that fun. So,
yeah. And, you know, the amount of times you find, like, a donkey with a woman's face or random buggy stuff in the world, you can kind of forget it.
Yeah.
Or forgive it and just laugh it off. But I've been playing Red Dead Redemption as well. I'm not terribly far in the story. I still haven't killed the first bandit boss, Williamson or whatever. But I, you know, I've put like 8 hours into the game, which, you know, says something about how much content there is in it. Since my in-laws are in town, we actually fired up some Rock Band 2 and played.
Nice.
This afternoon, it's pretty fun, you know, getting my mother-in-law, who doesn't play video games, to, you know, sing in Rock Band. And, you know, she insisted there'd be nothing that she could play in it, but, you know, well, there you go, there's an Allman Brothers Band song, so, you know, ended up working out pretty well. We had a lot of fun, although my father-in-law, who's a bass player, was lamenting the fact that his groove was being thrown off by the game switching up the notes on him. But yeah, so that's pretty much all I've been playing. I've been pretty busy. So let's move on to this week's news. There's a little bit. And first up, we have the Brink developers not really giving us an answer on whether it'll be a beta or not. But they do something that will torpedo the number of sales it gets from our site, and that is, they've confirmed that there will not be split screen play. And, you know, that's the sound of our couch co-op contingent
throwing tomatoes,
picking up their torches and Frankenstein rakes and marching on Austin, Texas, or wherever Splash Damage is. I think they're in Texas. They had a developer talked a lot about the different game modes. It focused primarily on competitive stuff, talking about the 8-on-8 play, but someone piped in and said, hey, what about split screen? And they said, we will not be supporting split screen. And, well, like I said, Frankenstein rakes and torches.
Yeah.
Moving on, the recently announced Earthworm Jim HD, which was rumored for a very long time, is going to have 4-player co-op.
Sweet.
And a variety of other modes as well, I believe. But the primary reason for the delay in its release was adding the co-op,
which awesome.
Is nice to hear.
That's one of my all-time favorite platformers. I loved the original game, so I'm stoked.
But will co-op make the Bathysphere level better? The answer is no.
I'm curious if the co-op is actually going to be some of the different characters in the game. It's been a while since I played, but I know there's a couple of other friends of Jim in that game that can make for interesting characters to play as, because it doesn't say that it's actually the co-op mode is through the story, but that they actually designed co-op levels and stuff. So maybe we'll see like a Lost Vikings-ish kind of a thing where the players have to work together to get through with their own abilities or something. That would be
cool, but, you know, if you bring that up, I'll just say I would really like Blizzard to bring a remake of the Lost Vikings out. Because The Lost Vikings was awesome.
Indeed it was.
Alien Breed Evolution, which was released last year for the Xbox 360, apparently got a name change for the PC and PS3 release. It's now called Alien Breed Impact. I really don't know what the meaning of that name change is, but it was pretty fun. I didn't feel that it was particularly great in the co-op, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But I'm really what does the name change symbolize?
They just said that they made a lot of improvements across the board. I think there was a whole new mission. The biggest thing they did, and this is something I know that we both had trouble with when we were playing, is they said that they actually redesigned the aliens in it. To make them easier to see, because they all just kind of look the same. Remember?
And they would all, you know, go, you know, there were so many shadows in that game, it was hard to see them.
Right, so they said that they actually redesigned the aliens, so you can tell the difference between the types of aliens, and so there's a little more contrast in that you can see them, so...
So do you think it's still they're still going to move on and make more episodes?
They already are. Well, I just saw a rumor this weekend that the ESRB or one of the ratings board rated something called Alien Breed. It's like Ultimatum or
Ultimatum? Something. It stars Matt Damon now?
Let me see if I can dig it up quick. but yeah, it was Alien Breed 2 Assault was rated by the ESRB. It says from the top, and then it just had the description. It said, and it basically sounds exactly the same.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I guess it's the new episodes are definitely coming.
Well, that's good. Anyway, moving on. The news came out of Epic that they were essentially caught with their pants down at the popularity of Horde mode, especially, you know, people playing with randoms. And, you know, from my point of view, you already have a very popular franchise that has a very popular online multiplayer component, and you put something fun in it, you're not supposed to be surprised when people say, hey, this is pretty fun.
Hey, your fun mode is fun.
But they're mostly focusing on, you know, they're like, oh, well, people are going to play this in private match with their buddies, and They were really surprised that people would just play it with randoms, and they actually made a join in progress feature for the latest patch or title update. Sorry, it's a 360 game for the game, and that's really great because you don't have to, you know, say, oh, my buddy had to drop out at wave 30 and we're at wave 44 now, and another buddy wants to hop in and help us out. You don't have to start over.
Yeah,
so that's pretty great. And the Green Day Rock Band demo teased Rock Band 3, and specifically that there might be a keyboard in it.
Yeah, I think it was Ars Technica posted that their little rumor, their mole, said that it's actually a keytar, not a keyboard. So.
Oh my.
So 80s, 80s lovers rejoice.
So it's going to be Rock Band 3 New Wave.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for, you know, the keyboard to be like the Moog synthesizer, and you could play as Emerson, Lake, and Palmer or something crazy. You know, just, you know, rock out like it's 1971. But yeah, so, keyboard, keytar, the possibilities are endless. But does that mean we'll be having 5-player co-op?
Well, at least, because it also has the harmonies. Shown that the multiple microphone harmonies that were from Beatles Rock Band, so we could have, if you think about it, that'd be what, 7 players you could have.
Yeah, technically, I mean, you could really, you know, string things out.
Yeah,
be pretty cool. But I guess it would really depend on what the platform supports as far as number of players.
Yeah,
concurrently.
Yeah.
Killzone 3 was announced. There are rumors that there will be 4-player co-op in it, perhaps. And unfortunately, they're going to be cramming 3D down our throats with it. I, for one, do not look forward to our new 3D video game Overlords.
Yeah, you know,
because I don't want to have to wear glasses to play a video game.
Like I said earlier, before we started recording, we were out shopping and stuff today, and we went to Best Buy, and I was looking at the TVs, and they have a whole, like, 3D TV area set up with demo units and stuff, and I was kind of watching the reaction of people, and I think most people are unimpressed. Like, the salesperson was more impressed telling them about it than the people actually, you know, using it. I think it's one of those things that it works in the theater because you have a nice big screen and it's kind of like an experience, but on your home screen, when, you know, even though it's 46 inches or 50 inches or whatever, it's just, it's not the same. And people don't want to have to sit there and wear those goofy glasses and stuff. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to take off as much as these companies are trying to make it take off.
I hope it doesn't take off, because have you seen that the a lot of the glasses technologies, you're going to pay $2,000 for the set and $100 per pair of glasses?
Yeah, it's, well...
And even the ones they're advertising on TV right now, they're like, oh, well, this set comes with one pair of glasses, so you're instantly including, you know, accessory costs,
yeah,
you know, into everybody that doesn't, you know, live by themselves.
Yeah.
That's, frankly, that's retarded.
Yeah, it is definitely ridiculous, and... It doesn't add that much to the experience. I mean, yeah, it's cool. It has some wow moments and stuff, but overall, I don't know.
And it's going to make your heads-up displays in games harder to read, because it's harder to focus on individual things.
Yeah, it's a lot more eye strain. A lot more eye strain, so... Yeah, it's like we just got rid of a lot of eye strain with it, with LCD technology and stuff like that, you know, going from CRTs, and now we're going to go back and making it like twice as bad as it ever was with, you know, I'm guessing most of these glasses are kind of like those shutter-based ones, right, where they're flickering,
you know, I think so.
60 times a second or 100 times, whatever it is.
Or, you know, when the batteries in them run out, whatever. Lame.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, if you like Killzone, there's going to be more. Killzone 2 was pretty solid, but I ultimately found it was nothing to write home about other than it being one of the prettier games.
And remember the freaking end battle in that? The stupid boss?
The stupid boss, but I did enjoy the fact that the ending of the game is literally the main character doing a facepalm.
I forgot.
Because his buddy was like, I'm going to be macho and stupid. Oh, look at this stupid macho thing I did. And your main character kind of looks at him like, WTF, and walks outside and just sits down and puts his head in his palm. It was pretty great.
Forgot about that.
But, yeah, the rest of the game, you know, it's all right. You know, it plays a lot like Call of Duty with space Nazis ripped from Jinro. But, you know, I can go off on that some other time. Fable 3 has a confirmed Windows Collector's Edition in addition to the 360 one. And there's going to be a lot of Fable tchotchkes in it. And it'll cost you $80.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big news was that it actually is definitely coming to Windows.
Truth.
And the rumor is cross-platform play with that. Because obviously with it being a Microsoft game, it's going to be used in Xbox or games for Windows Live.
Yep.
So that means more co-op possibilities, which will be
good. Just hope you're not a little bitch to the main player this time.
Yeah, I mean,
They've said as much, but still,
yeah, we'll see.
They've got a lot to prove.
Have you seen some of the video docs for those? The vid docs showing like the RTS like interface of it and stuff. It looks pretty interesting. It really looks to change things up quite a bit.
Yeah,
in terms of how you're going to interact with the world and stuff. So we'll see.
You know, that's a definite we'll see, because. RTSs are very hit or miss with me.
Well, I mean, it doesn't... You know, not that it plays like an RTS, but, like, you... Like, I think how you, like, move around the world, you get a view of, like, your kingdom, and, like, you can pick areas, and then you can drop in, and then go do whatever you need to do there, and so on and so forth. I mean, it was tough to tell from just the, you know, the 5-6 second clips and those things, but...
Yeah. But, more Fable is always a good thing. I've enjoyed the previous two, despite them being, you know, much less than what they're promised to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can accept that the third will be fall in the same same trap.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them both greatly, so.
So, we have a few quick news items here. The Scourge Project got a patch, but Nick forgot to link it, so I don't know what the details are.
It was just basically fixing a whole bunch of crap, so hopefully the game's a little bit better. I haven't played it since they patched it, but that game was definitely in need of a waxing. A couple coats of wax.
Well, it, you know, Scourge Project, kind of crappy, but it got patched. Hooray. Halo Reach release date was announced, and it's coming out September 14th. And I'm pretty sure everyone here is going to buy it, so let's move on again. And talk about the fact that Isaac Clarke is an unlockable skater character in Skate 3.
I have to...
They're really farming that character model out to every game they can, because he was also in Tiger 10.
Yeah.
And I guess you can skateboard with him now.
You got to give props to Sam for that headline, though.
Oh, yeah? The skater die.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Skate or die. If you remember the old song from the game. Yeah. But that's pretty cool, but nowhere near as cool as Darth Maul and Tony Hawk.
Was he? I don't remember that one. I was never a big Tony Hawk fan.
I think it was Tony Hawk 2 or 3. Had a bunch of random-ass characters in it.
Nice.
Anyway, that's pretty much it for news. But we're going to talk about E3.
That's right, because
Nick's going.
That's right. Jason and I will be there. And we will be bringing lots of good co-op stuff, hopefully. Our schedule's already pretty much filled up. All the appointments are made. Now it's just... a badge came in the mail this past week, so...
Awesome.
Now it's just going. So we'll be going to all three of the press conferences, checking out Microsoft stuff and Sony stuff and Nintendo stuff, though I really don't care to go to that press conference. But I'll go anyway in the name of journalism, if you want to call it that.
In the name of blogging.
Yeah. We'll also be going... We've got an invite to Ubisoft's press conference, so hopefully we'll be seeing what they have to show with Tom Clancy franchises and stuff. And we're also going... Sunday night is the special Project Natal event, where they're going to be unveiling the official name and probably the pricing and lots of hands-on stuff with that. And... that's another thing I really don't care about at all, but I'll go, I'll check it out, and we'll see what happens there. I don't know. I mean, do you have any interest in that at all, Mike? I mean, I really don't care at all about that.
I really don't. Yeah. No.
I mean, I don't know. And the thing is, I know the thing is going to be totally geared towards the people that aren't at that event. Right.
Or that don't own Xbox 360s.
Well, I mean, like, that event is going to be geared... Yeah, exactly. People that don't own 360s or, you know, it's just... The people that are going to that event are not the people that want to buy Natal. So, there's going to be a lot of awkward silences and sideways glances and all this stuff at these things. Same thing, you know, with Sony, with their Move stuff that they're going to be showing. It's, you know... As much as they say they want to approach the hardcore gamer and stuff, the hardcore gamer does not care about those kind of things. So,
and you know, unless the hardcore gamer is a hardcore gamer for Nintendogs or something that would warrant motion controls like this.
Yeah. But yeah, we also we have a couple of little parties we're going to and events in terms. There's a big Halo Reach event on the first night there. That we'll be going to. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe they'll unveil the new co-op mode for it or something, and we'll get to play that. That would be really awesome.
It would be.
We're also going to another event that's going to have Gears of War 3 and Fable 3 at it. So we'll be getting some hands-on time with both those games to bring coverage to you.
Excellent.
First day is actually kind of light, though, in terms of like meetings. But I do know that there is a unannounced action RPG from I can't say which publisher, but they are going to announce it that it's going to have co-op. So we have an appointment with them, so that'll be good. We have an appointment with South Peak, where games go to die. And
don't tell them I said that.
And we're going to check out some Two Worlds 2, and then the day rounds out with. Something I'm really looking forward to, because it just actually got a 360 and PS3 version announced, and that's Rock of the Dead, which is the mashup of House of the Dead and Rock Band / Guitar Hero. I was a big fan of Typing of the Dead, so I'm curious.
Typing of the Dead was pretty
cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to see Rock of the Dead, especially if they have crazy guitar riffs and stuff when the guys die. It'll be awesome.
Yes.
And let's see what else we're checking out co-op wise. Spec Ops: The Line, finally get some hands-on time with that. I've been really anxious to see that game up close since they announced it and showed the trailer for it. We'll get to see what Capcom has to offer. I think like most of their big co-op titles are already out this year and stuff. So You know, it's been pretty solid, though, the past 2 years with Capcom, with Resident Evil 5 and Lost Planet 2, and a lot of their arcade titles all had co-op support, so hopefully they get some new stuff
to
do.
You'll get to see MVC3, which is of interest to me.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, non-co-op-wise, that's definitely on the top of my list. You know, I did make a couple non-co-op appointments, but I really wanted to focus on co-op this year at E3. And spend a lot of time with that and hopefully get like some interviews and video stuff. So I think the only non-co-op stuff I made was Civilization V. I wanted to check that out.
You whore.
I just love that game. That's really actually the only one I see on the list that's not co-op. So I've got to put in with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has a surprising amount of co-op games coming out with like Harry Potter. There's like the four set of Lego games for Harry Potter. Now Fear 3. That's a big co-op title. I'd be anxious to check that out. There was another. They had one other title too on their list that was co-op. So that's good news. Let's see what else we got. We're going to be checking out Def Jam Rapstar. I'm going to be listening to Nothing But a G Thang over and over so I don't make an ass of myself when I get to E3. So yeah, I can learn those lyrics.
You gonna spit some fat rhymes?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be doing that. Let's see, we have an appointment with Bethesda, so we'll check out Brink. We were talking about Brink earlier in the show. Finally, get the DL on that. See what's going on, and see if it's everything it's cracked up to be.
See which one of us is right about what that
game really is. Yeah, yeah. Mike and I have been having a debate back and forth, and you know whether it's just a team-based game that happens to quote unquote have co-op, or if it's actually, you know, has some narrative to it and structure. So,
well, structure beyond you know, cutscenes thrown in a multiplayer match.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I think it is.
Yeah. But yeah, so that, you know, there's a lot of like, we have a lot of little appointments here and there. There's a lot of hardware companies at E3 this year. I think it's going to be a pretty big spectacle, kind of back to the E3 of old. I know I didn't get to go last year, but I know a lot of folks that went last year and said it was getting close to old E3, but it still wasn't quite there. There's some few things off. So I left plenty of space for us to just kind of roam the floors and check out what's there and, you know, hopefully make some stuff off the cuff and see what happens. Here's another non-co-op title, or maybe it has co-op, is the new XCOM game, which is going to be a first-person shooter. So we'll see what's gonna happen there. We have an appointment for that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm anxious to get back out there. Like I said, didn't get to go last year. I had gone the previous two, and yeah, that's about it.
I don't get to go this year, and it makes me sad. But
next year.
You know, next year.
Yes.
There's always next year,
indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
Well, so that's what you have to look forward to from the site for E3. It looks to be a pretty big year for co-op fans. So let's wrap things up by talking about some site stuff. Apparently there are no upcoming co-op releases.
No, I wrote them in there. There should be.
There are none.
Mine says Metal Gear Solid. We got mixed up there. Okay.
You put them in the wrong section. Okay, anyway. So, we have Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker for the PSP coming June 1st. And hopefully it's good, because I'm a big Metal Gear fan. But I had some issues with the controls on the PSP demo. I got over them, but I felt it was a little kludgy. Green Day Rock Band coming June 8th for the 360, PS3, and Wii. As readers of our site will well be aware, there are plenty of, you know, pieces of content that we throw together in the form of news, reviews, features, etc. So this past couple weeks, we reviewed Red Dead Redemption, Metal Slug XX for XBLA, and Skate 3 for the 360 and PS3, so please check those out. And we have some pretty cool features. The second installment of Indiana Co-op came out with the subtitle of the Space Armada of the Japanese Knight. There was a co-op classics for Pac-Man because of the 30th anniversary and the the silly co-op Google HTML5 thing that they put together.
Did you see the estimated lost productivity hours from that?
No.
It was like 10.4 million or something. It was obscene.
Excellent. I do remember loading up Google at work, and most of the machines don't really have speakers on, or most people have headphones plugged in, but there's one guy that has a set of speakers at work, and you know, he hit Google, and then all of a sudden over the cube walls you heard waka 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 waka. It was pretty great. There was a new Battlefield report. I believe it was for Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
With a title of 1911. That's pretty much all it can be. And you put together an article called When Co-op Becomes a Necessity.
Yeah.
Which is pretty slick. I definitely recommend checking it out. Did you want to say anything about it?
No, you know, it's just there was a little editorial on G4 TV about how a lot of people were turned off from Lost Planet 2 because the game is essentially a co-op game or nothing. You know, the single player just has these weird bots with fake gamer tags, mm-hmm. and, you know. So I just kind of wrote up an editorial about how things are changing in the sense that the single player is morphing into a co-op experience, and kind of looking at some of that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I definitely recommend checking it out. And that's really it. So how about you leave some feedback for us on iTunes or follow us on Twitter at Co-Optimus. We always enjoy your positive feedback, but we do take criticism. If there's anything you don't like about us, send it to Jim at Jim. What's his email address?
J. McLaughlin.
J. McLaughlin at Co-Optimus.com. So on that note, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks and hopefully have some really awesome E3 stuff.
Later.
One, two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Cause you know we're about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Too low, death nigga, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. Hell, but yeah. Back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me dig on a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this and